conference in Columbus, Ohio on January 28th and 29th, 2006 with Brother Titus Chu. Message 1.
You know, I was considering what should I share. Then I was reminded the last weekend I was in Detroit area. I first have some fellowship brothers on Friday night, Saturday morning. Then this Saturday afternoon, I have a clear feeling. Now the topic is the body of Christ, with among many, many Christians, among many, many local churches. We talk about the body of Christ. We speak about Christ. The problem is most of us do not know what is the body of Christ. So in Detroit, I used about 20 minutes, write two outlines. It's pretty messy. After I came back to Cleveland, I rewrite it. So this is a better outline. You can, the Detroit people can throw that outline away and use this one. This is a good outline. It's very enjoyable. Now, this morning we cover the reality of the body of Christ. Now, what is the body of Christ? When we talk about the body of Christ, what is your first response to the existing of it? We talk about the man. When I talk about, when I use the word man, quickly, you can come up with something, you know, that is man. When I talk about dog, quickly you know, what is dog? When we talk about the body of Christ, quickly, there should be a proper understanding coming up with that terms. Now, this is the body of Christ. Otherwise, it will become something very frustrating to many, many people. For instance, one brother wrote to me, say, Brother Titus, you did say communist China in a good way years ago, not today. Today the government's very good. Years ago, using the term of people to persecute people. You know, if I use the word people, what is your understanding? It's not easy. It's very realistic, right? We all are people. It's very abstract because the term is so grand, so great, so inclusive, and cover so many things. So when we use the word people, usually we don't have a proper apprehension. What are the people? It's too great for us. Now, when we come to the term the body of Christ, we have to realize it is the greatest term in the universe because it is the increase of Christ. It is enlargement of Christ. It is the fullness of the one who fills all in all. Because of this, it's not too easy to apprehend it, not too easy to grasp it. However, we will use the three meetings, cover the three major things related to the body of Christ. Firstly, what is the body of Christ? What is the reality of body of Christ? The body of Christ is the church which is his body. But when we use the church, the term church, we focus on the expression side. When we use the term the body of Christ, we focus on the side of its essence. We use the word church, which means what? The called out congregations. Church is something you can see, something you can experience, something you can enjoy, something can become part of your life. But what you can see, you enjoy, you participate, it's even part of your existence, we see that there is a certain life. Just like a human being, I see you, but I only see you outwardly. We see you, there is a human life. That life becomes the reality of you. Take the life away, you disappeared. So what is the body of Christ? Body of Christ, the inner essence of the church. take away, if you do not understand, appreciate the body of Christ, quickly the church disappeared. So you have to realize, for all Christian life, the body of Christ is the most crucial thing. Now we are in the church life. Why we are in the church life? Because we are in the expression, in a life that is expression of the body of Christ. Without the body of Christ, the church becomes something merely as a human gathering. I hope you brothers from beginning have this deep realization. The body of Christ is great, is profound, is universal, is mystical. Actually, I use the word here. The body of Christ, the body, the church, is constituted with the divine life of the triune God as its substance. So you talk about the body, you realize God is here. The body of Christ is constituted with the divine life as its substance, and also Christ's resurrection as his realm. Do you realize? The body of Christ is a realm. I believe we do have problem with this. The first time I read Watchman Nee's book, he wrote, what is the body of Christ? The body of Christ is a realm. I was quite frustrated. Then Brother Lee mentioned the divine mystical realm. I began to put them together. I realized, in this realm, we can live. In this realm, we gain life supply. In this realm, we gain strength. In this realm, that we can have a normal, healthy, heavenly life according to God himself. In this realm, we can be so one with God, because this realm is the body of Christ. And this realm also divine and mystical. How can this realm, a body of Christ, as a realm for us to participate, is a realm of resurrection? You know, brothers and sisters, I haven't met you, brother, sister, before. Besides you, I met you before, have I? Not you, brothers, right? You know, brother, let me ask you this simple question. Do you realize once you believe in Jesus, you are saved? You are saved right into the oneness with this very Christ in resurrection. This is why it's very surprising. Lousy as we are, terrible as we are, weak as we are, defeated as we are, hopeless as we are, we still can love the Lord. Aren't you surprised by that? I would tell the Lord, Lord, I just can't believe it. From every angle, in every way, I have to declare, Lord, there's no way I can still follow you. There's no way I can still love you. There's no way I can still be with a saint. Because individually, everyone is a professional failure. Corporately, the whole group is defeated to the uttermost. But the Lord will say, do you know what is element in you? And what is element that put us all together? This is element of resurrection. Once you are regenerated, you become a member of the body of Christ. And where is the body? This body of Christ is in the heavenlies. This body of Christ is in resurrection. When you are partaking as a member of the body of Christ, you live in the realm of resurrection. So the body is a realm. You can point in one hand, you say, this is a body. You can say that. Because this is, for sure, part of the body. Especially when the saints are filled with spirit, manifesting Christ, you look at them, you can say, this is a body. However, you must realize the body is much greater than your understanding. The body is so inclusive. There's only one body in the universe. The body of Christ has been in existence for 2,000 years. One day, we all will be in the Lord's presence. Millions of Christians accumulated in 2,000 years. At that time, we will see the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John. We will see Brother Luther. We will see Brother Calvin. We would appreciate Brother Zinzendorf. We will shake hands with Brother Watchman Nee. And we will say, hallelujah, I'm surprised. We are in one body. Amen. Do you get my point? Oftentimes, we want to make the body smaller. We are the body. No, there's only one body in the universe. If there's only one body, the body must be extremely inclusive to the extent that all 2,000 years, all the believers are in this body. And in the way that every minute, every moment, the body has its increase, both in life and in stature. You just consider, we come to this meeting, all different, right? Some half awake, some fully awake. Some are excited, some dragged in, right? Some come in to get help. Some come in to see what Titus says that he can report to the headquarters. I tell you, brothers, all kind of people, all kind of things, but it doesn't matter that much because as long as you are a believer, we are in one body of Christ. And one thing in common, right, we come to the meeting, we open your heart, we sing some song, we enjoy the messages, Christ increasing us. With the increase of Christ, there's a growth of the body. Isn't that marvelous? And more than that, just in the last 20 minutes, global-wise, many got saved. Some got saved in China. Some got saved in Africa. Some got saved in South America. Some may be saved in Australia. I tell you, all the regeneration happened global-wise in that very moment. Is an increase of the body of Christ. Oh, I tell you, brothers, I always marvel. Lord, how can you produce such a masterpiece? You know, God would say, I create everything. You know, I create the heavens. I create the earth. I create everything in the universe. Eventually, I made man. I built woman. I create in them the human spirit. But among all this, you have to say, wunderbar. That's German, right? Wonderful. We say, wonderful, wonderful. We point to a tree, wonderful. Pointing to an animal, wonderful. Pointing to man, wonderful. But do you realize? Eventually God says, they all are wonderful, but they are not my masterpiece. Do you know what is my masterpiece? My masterpiece is the body of Christ. When I have the body of Christ, the body of Christ is my masterpiece. Oh, so I tell you, you tell God, you say, God, how much I appreciate the little doggy you created. I love the doggy. He's so smart. He's so sweet. He's so wise. He's such a comfort to my wife, to my kids, and to me. God says, how stupid you are. You look at the dog. You do not appreciate my masterpiece. Some says, oh, how I love this book, how I love that book, how I like this teaching, how I like that teaching. The Lord will say, they all are good, but don't be stupid. Remember, this book, this teaching, that teaching, they all are for the body of Christ. For my masterpiece. If your person has not been elevated to the extent you are one with the body of Christ, basically you miss the top meaning of your human life. The highest existence is that my existence in the body life, for the body of Christ, give life to the body of Christ, draw life in the body of Christ, and my existence is surrendered with all the members in the body of Christ, all the parts in the body of Christ, until we grow to maturity with the fullness of God. That is the only meaning for the human existence. Only that kind of life. You can say, how marvelous is this life. Now, we need to come to the outline. We need to come quickly, because you come in 9:30, right? So we're supposed to finish the meeting at 11:30. If we can, the 11, a little bit over that. Number one, right, the body of the church is constituted with the divine life of the triune God. No problem with that, right? Anything that is not of life is not of the body. Do you get my point? Usually we say, our body, the body we are with. Brother, remember that there's no our body and there's no body you are with. There's only one body. And this body is constituted with the divine life of the triune God as its substance. Whenever in the church life, the divine life is no longer a substance, you are caught either by a mission. You know, brother, I don't know, are you a missionary? But you can be a good missionary. Either you are caught by a mission, or you are caught by a practice, or you are caught by a teaching, or you are caught by a certain mood. Brother, you cannot say they're not Christians, but you can say they're short of the reality of the body. Do you understand what I mean? You know, in Cleveland, there is a famous city called the Shaker Heights. There's all the millionaires stay there. Was, not no longer, I think. I think the building become cheap now. But it was the place with mansions, millionaires living there. You know, what is a shaker? Shaker is when they come together, they hold a chair and they shake. The more they shake, the more they get released. I can see that. It's just like a Buddhist monk counting the beat. You know, counting beat makes sense, right? When you keep on counting beat, you lost your mind. Your mind, you just concentrate on counting beat. So you don't think anymore, then anything can happen. So if you shake, well, eventually, a lot of things happen. Brother, they are Christians. Otherwise, they don't shake. But you cannot say, when they shake the chair, there's a reality of the body. Because the substance of the body is only Christ. Do you get my point or not? Someone like to give teachings. Someone like to speak in tongues. Someone like to do different miraculous things. And someone like to do the common things. Some young people like to say, we have our top of the mountain, we sing wild songs. And old people like to say, we are ancient, we like the songs written by Brother Nee and Brother Lee and those fathers. Everything's good. Those who eat, they eat unto the Lord. Those who do not eat, they do not eat unto the Lord. Do you get my point? So if God receives them, who are we to judge them, say that's wrong, or yes? But, I tell the beauty is really big, but when you are in the mountaintop, is Christ, is God as your substance? Or is the music your substance? I saw some young brothers and sisters, when I have a college training, you were there, aren't you? You go to college training, right? I see the young girls stand up. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, I said, please stop that. You see, telling Lord Jesus I love him, there's anything wrong. There's nothing wrong. But you got all emotional. You don't need Christ, you can do that. You can either say Jesus or you can say John. Oh, John, I love you if you're a girl. If you're a boy, you can say, hey, Mary, I love you. Brother, it's all emotional. Do you realize there's nothing wrong with whatever you do? You want to memorize verses? Fine. You want to memorize outlines? Fine. You want to sing some funny songs? Fine. You want to release your spirit? Fine. You want to shout? Fine. You want to be silent? Fine. But there's one thing you must check. If the church as a body of Christ, as reality, let me ask you, how much God is involved? Sister, you understand what I mean? When you young girls all stand up, oh, Jesus, I love you. I'm not quite sure, a lot of God. But maybe Psalm says, oh, I really have Lord's presence. Brother, the one who says, I really have the Lord's presence, is one in that moment has a reality of the body of Christ. Why? Because the substance of the body of Christ is not sinning, it's not non-sinning, it's not getting excited, it's not be quiet, but rather it is what? It's the life of the triune God. If life element is there, then everything is fine. And more than that, and Christ's resurrection as its realm. I like this. Brother, I have been in the body life over 50-some years. Sometimes amazed, you know. Young girl, aren't you amazed you still love the Lord? Aren't you? You see, I don't. All the way I'm an overcomer. Then, Pastor, you never even walk. You lay there all the time. That's why you don't know you fall. When you really run after the Lord, you just find a pole, and you got all bruised all over. Oh, here I got a head. Here's one, there's one. But eventually, for some reason, you can rise up and walk again, and you can say, Lord, I don't understand what happened. But I know one thing, I still love you. And that one thing, you still allow me to love you. Why? Because we are in the realm of resurrection. The body of Christ is what? Is with Christ's resurrection as its realm. So in the body, as the body of Christ, you walk in resurrection, you live in resurrection, you fellowship in resurrection, you are one with another in resurrection, because the body of Christ is with Christ's resurrection as its realm. Now how can you brought into this? How can you brought into such a reality? Oh, it's not easy. Here, point one, no? The ultimate apprehension of it. In other words, the ultimate apprehension of the body of Christ comes through the full knowledge of Christ. You don't know Christ. You don't know the body of Christ. You see, Paul's prayer says that I pray that you may have the full knowledge of him. The full knowledge of Christ leads you to the full realization of the body of Christ. No one can deviate Christ and the body of Christ. Do you get my point? Here is Mike Puskas. Here's Mike Puskas. And this is a body of Mike Puskas. Am I right? And within this body, there is a person of Mike Puskas. So the first look at him, you see, wow, he's big, he's tall, he's strong, he's sober, he's sweet. This is all appearance, right? Until you are really with him. So who is this Mike Puskas? You know who knows the most? His wife knows the most. His kids know the most. Because why? After you've been with him for a while, you find out, wow, what come out of this man? Many times, it's not what we see of this man. Do you get my point? So if you really want to know this man, you don't just shake his hand and say, wow, such a big hand, hallelujah. You have to know the person. And the body of Christ must be with Christ as a person. The more you know Christ, the more you enjoy the body of Christ.
Amen.
For instance, Mike, what's your wife's name? I forgot. Sorry.
Sandy.
Oh, Sandy. His wife's name is Sandy, huh? Sandy once gave a testimony which is interesting. Is Sandy here?
Yes, right there.
Yeah. You don't mind I repeat your testimony. She said, one day in the meeting, all of a sudden she looked, opened her eye in prayer, whatever, she see Mike. And all of a sudden, do you remember that? Oh, that is a good testimony. Praise the Lord. That means one side you fall in love. Hallelujah. Then they get married. After you get married, Sandy, did you find out? He's not the Mike you think you know. Actually, it doesn't matter how long he dates you. Even 3 years dating, she does not expose himself until you really are with her. But don't be afraid. Once you really know him, you understand now. He doesn't eat pork. He only eats lamb. So you just cook lamb and not pork. This is simple, right? No, you know that. Everything with him, God speed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, very orderly. So everything you do, just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, very orderly. When you know him so well, you work with the body so well. You understand what I mean? Suppose a person hate pork, especially bacon pork, which means fat. Am I right? And then every morning I cook bacon for him and tell him this is a flow. I'm not joking. We do funny things. Christians really do funny things. And tell him this is what the Lord has told me to feed you. You know, brother, this man will reject it. By the rejecting of the man, this body will reject it. The body will say, I don't want it. It's not the body say I don't want it. It's the person say I don't want it. So if I want to walk perfect, in perfect harmony with this man, I'm not just working with this physical body. I must work with the inward being of this person. Do you get my point? Let me ask you, suppose this is Christ. This is the body of Christ. Lord, cover me. By no means this is the body of Christ. But suppose this is the body of Christ. If you want to enjoy the body of Christ, know the body of Christ, participate in the body of Christ, you want to be totally one with the body of Christ, you must fully know Christ.
Amen.
If you are not fully know Christ, you can never be fully one with the body of Christ. Do I make sense to you? So, brother, thank you. So here it says, your ultimate apprehension. I know body. I know the body of Christ. Just like Sandy, you know Mike, right? Beginning with that first thought in the meeting. Maybe after that he call you or you call him. Doesn't make any difference. This is United States, right? So then eventually he says, let's go out and have a cup of coffee, right? So you have somewhat the body of Mike. Am I right? So part, but not ultimate. Now you marry many years. After many years, you have the ultimate understanding of Mike, I hope at least. Then you have a full understanding of the body of Mike. You know you love the Lord. When you love the Lord, you don't pursue the body of Christ. You pursue Christ. When you see Christ, know Christ, enjoy Christ, take in Christ, that Christ become everything to you, you for sure you have an apprehension of what is the body of Christ. Do I make sense to you, brothers? Amen. Can you say amen to this?
Amen.
Oh, here I read to you. The ultimate apprehension of the body of Christ comes through the full knowledge of Christ by what? By continuously abiding in a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Oh, that's good. You know, wisdom is for understanding. Revelation is for sight. You know, in our understanding, in our understanding, we should say in the spirit of revelation and wisdom. Because you see something, then you understand. No, it says in the spirit of wisdom, right? Wisdom and revelation. I already know him because I already know him. Because I already know Christ. If I don't know Christ, I'm not a member of the body of Christ. I will never fully have the full knowledge of Christ. I will never fully apprehend the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So I'm already Mike's friends. That's the premise. With this premise, so I try to know Mike more. So I need some wisdom, right? He has, you call this crew cut. Mm-hmm. He has a crew cut. So he must be a quick and sharp person. But we're wasting no time to comb the hair. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. Huh? Oh, the color of his clothes is most common. So he hates to be special. It's decent, right? It's decent. But it's commonly accepted. Whether you like, you don't like, whatever color you like, no one can deny this jacket. Mm-hmm. If anyone says, I don't like this jacket, then let me tell you, you must be very, very peculiar. A common person will say, brother, am I right or not? This jacket is very acceptable, right? He has a red tie, so he has a sign of life. Brothers, don't think this is a joking. You go to funeral, you never have a red tie, right? you always have a black tie. Oh, here. That means this brother still appreciate life, love life, going on in life. These are all wisdom. Then after you know this, you find out more than that. Oh, I see more of him now. He must be a sharp person. Waste nothing here. You see, I got 3 pens. And he has no pen. That means everything goes through him is clear cut. Everything goes through me with a lot of notes. Oh, praise the Lord. I see him more now. So more revelation. More revelation, you have more wisdom, right? Oh, what? Brother, of the wisdom, I got revelation. Of the revelation, I have wisdom. Eventually, I fully know this Mike. Mm-hmm. Your name is Mike, right?
Yes. Mike.
Yeah, okay, Mike Pascal. I fully know this Mike. Praise the Lord for this. You know, brother, Lord Jesus are like this. The day we receive Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, young girl, I love you. I love you. Jesus says, really? Oh, no, I don't really love you, but I love you. Lord Jesus, when can you wake up? Oh, when I grow up more, I'll love you real, but I love you. Young people has a funny music. Their music only angels enjoy. I don't think Jesus enjoy, but angels say, ha, ha. At least the young people are saying, Lord Jesus, I love you, and not saying, so-and-so, I love you. Praise the Lord for that. But, do you know, I know Christ now. I'm a member of the body of Christ now. As a member of the body of Christ, I need more understanding. I mean, more of the spirit of wisdom, revelation, so I come to the full knowledge of him. Because the more I know him, the more I see, I know the body of Christ. Thank you, brother. You know our problem? Our problem is, we either deny the body of Christ. Don't talk about it. It just causes division. Brother, if body of Christ causes division, that would be the most funny thing on the globe. Because there's only one body on the universe. How can it cause divisions? But anyway, brother, some will say, no, we must see the body. We must. Brother, I think both are so funny. Both are short of Christ. The more Christ you have, the more Christ you know, the more Christ you enjoy, the more Christ you take in, the more Christ you have the reality, the more you grow, you enjoy, you have the reality of the body of Christ. Then secondly, it is constituted with the riches of the glory of the Lord's inheritance in the saints. I like it. Brother, do you like it? What is the body of Christ? The body of Christ is actually us. Yet not really us. The part the Lord can inherit. The part the Lord will say, I'm proud of. Do you get my point or not? Oh, come on, young girl. You look at him and laughed, right? Like, come on. It's the first time you come to the meeting or you have been here before? Oh, first time. I'm too hard on you. Come on. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Do you want to give everything to Jesus?
Yes.
So you say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Sorry. I like to give my ring to you.
Okay.
Inheritance, right? Remember here it says, we are his inheritance, right? The riches of inheritance in the saints. So what's your name, young girl?
Samantha,
huh? So Lord says, oh, young girl. I love you so much. And you tell the Lord, Lord, I love you so much. I'll give you a lot. I'll give you a pencil. The Lord says, put it aside. I'll give you a ring. The Lord says, put aside. You say, Lord, are you not satisfied? I'll give you, not a watch. Where's the watch? No watch. I'll give you, this is a watch. I'll give you a beautiful watch. This young lady's watch, even with, no, I thought it was jewels. But anyway, I'll give you a watch. Lord says, put aside. He said, Lord, what do you want? Lord says, let me look around. Where could I find anything that I feel I can inherit? You said, oh, you're born again, aren't you? You're a believer, aren't you?
Yeah.
You have Jesus in you, right?
Yeah.
And do you have a lot of Jesus in you?
I guess.
Oh, that very Jesus in her is what the Lord desire to inherit. Many times we are very good-hearted, as this young sister, Samantha. Sorry. So next time, tell me when I call you, sis. New. Then I know that I don't have to force you, put you on the spot. But aren't you happy? Aren't you happy? There's one part in this sister. That is body of Christ. What is that part? The part comes from Christ. The part Christ abide. The part Christ may grow. The part Christ develop. That very part is the inheritance of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord for that. Thank you. You okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, isn't that marvelous? Here he says, it is constituted with what? With the riches of the glory of the Lord's inheritance. The Lord says, with all of you, I have so much to inherit. And let me tell you, what I inherit is something glorious. Why? Because what I inherit is something heavenly. It is heavenly. If it is in resurrection, then it is something glorious with his inheritance of in the sense. And what? Participate in, that we all are part of it. Participate in with those who live in the hope of his calling. You know, brother, a sister, Samantha, you know how eventually you will tell the Lord in 2006. You see, the problem with old men, we never grow out of 19 something. Because we have talked about it for 60 some years. So even now I'm still 19 something, then still. It's 6 years already, you can change your habit. Isn't that serious? But anyway, well, we have sympathy among us. So, old man, I have sympathy on you. The good part is either 19 or 20, both are not inherited by the Lord. It's what you have in Christ. But how to do that? Samantha, if the Lord come back late, I hope in 2036, that will be 30 years later, you will be an older, comparatively older lady. Am I right? You'll be 50. Am I right? You're about 20. You're what? 17. So you'll be 47. Today, 70 and 20 means a lot. 47 and 50, they're equal. No difference. But anyway, 30 years later, you will be close to, Close to 50, right? And you can say, Lord Jesus, my life has not been in vain. My life. Because what? I have lived in the hope of your calling. So in the past 30 years, I gained so much Christ. I have so much increase of Christ. Christ has grown so much in me. And there's so much more for you to inherit. Don't you like have such a life? Today, you tell the Lord, I love you, Lord. Look around. Where is that thing that I can get? I see your emotion. I see your sensation. I see your zealousness. I see your giving. But I don't see much Christ. How about all the young people when you will be 50 years old? Young girl, how old are you? 18. So you're about the same age, right? 30 years later, that means 2036. Could you remember today? And tell the Lord, Lord, thank you. My life has not been in vain. That old brother, 30 years later, I will be 100 years old, exactly. And my dad lived 99, so I don't know. I can live that long. But anyway, when you come to 80, 90, possibly doesn't make much difference because you're old. You know, sister, you can say that. Oh, that old senior brother Titus Shu told me in 2006, if I have a life to live, my life is for gaining Christ. Because the Christ I gain caused me to live in hope of glory. And the life I gain, I live, caused me to be his inheritance. You can tell the Lord, in 2006, I have that little for you. In 2036, I have so much for you. In 2006, you find so little of you in me. In 2036, you have so much of you in me. How good that is. Then point three. It is constituted with a surpassing greatness of his power. This power is operating with operation of might, of his strength for us to participate in. Every time you consider the body of Christ, always realize the body of Christ is with the life of Christ. And the life of Christ is with the surpassing greatness of its power. Recently, it's very interesting. I got a phone call from different brothers and sisters. Some say, oh, brother, I love you. Some got mad at me. But most are discouraging phone calls. Oh, brother, oh, the certain place called a certain sins in our locality. This part I can never understand. Why we practice a local church life, yet we can just reach a sense in that local church and cause problems. It's just hard for me to believe. But anyway, we got a phone call from a certain place, and some says, oh no, some sisters are not so learned, especially I say that sisters. Some sisters are so learned, not so learned, now they make issues and the church life. Brother, I tell you something, I'm very happy. I'm still very happy. Look at me, am I happy? I'm 70. Isn't that a 70-year-old happy old man? Why I'm so happy? Because of the power. If I depart from the power, I'll be depressed. I wouldn't say depressed to death, but I'll be still sleeping there. The brothers tell me, Titus, it's time for meeting. I'll say, you go ahead, can do it. I have no burden. I don't care. But brother, something's interesting. I tell you, I love Jesus 50-some year now. In the 50-some year loving experience of loving Jesus, year after year, the power become greater, more surpassing than my realization. In the beginning, I overcome one thing, that's the power. Eventually, my whole person is elevated, uplifted in the heavenlies. That is the power. There is a surpassing power. This power is a power of resurrection. And this power operates in the church life. Operate of the might of his strength for us to participate in. So what is the church life, brother? Where are you now today? Cincinnati. You know, what is the church life? You should answer in this way. The church life is a life of resurrection. The church life is a life with the resurrecting power. In the church life, there's a power elevated us all the time. This is a surpassing greatness of the power. The more than that, it is substantiated through the headship of Christ in his resurrection. So Christ in resurrection become our head. I like this. You know, brother, you got a good head. When I say you got a good head, I do mean you look handsome, because that head is too temper. I was handsome too. And today I'm just an old man. You know, I lost all my pictures, you know, in young age. So one brother, when his book, he found some ancient pictures of the day we get married, me and my wife take a picture. I gave it to me. It's small, right? So we boost it, make it big. And the comment on the sister is very interesting. One sister is serving, helping my wife, accompanying my wife, not help, accompanying my wife in these few days. She says, Brother Titus, oh, your wife was so beautiful. He said, we cannot see that man is you because you're so different now. But that man is really handsome. I just had a feeling, huh? Well, if my head is based on this face, it's so untrustworthy. Do you get my point or not? You're a handsome man, young man. Not young, sorry, huh? Are you 35, 40 now? 44. You're handsome. And you're a handsome man too. You should be a movie star. You're a handsome man too. But brother, do you realize 30 years later, your face will be very different. Let me tell you the secret. American, no, white, show age at 30. White, show age at 30. Yellow, show age at 40. black show age at 50. You know, the Chinese, under 40, you don't know how old are they. They can cheat you as if they were 25. But once they go 40, they all come to reality. It's very interesting. The white show age the first. I don't know why, but maybe God's ordained that way. You know, the black usually do not show age. For instance, you are 44, right? I still can consider you 30, 32. Just, you know, people say, oh, you look so, wait until 40, until 50. Once for some reason you go over 50, if you really know how to take care of yourself, you may not show age. But in principle, people begin to say, oh, you are getting old. Then you have to answer, no, not getting old, getting ancient. Old is not a good word. Ancient means a lot of riches, sir. Yeah. So I have to tell you, brothers, praise the Lord, I'm ancient. Means what? I have accumulated 70 years experiences. I'm very happy. If I look at the picture where I get married, that is in 1966. So what year is this? 2006, right? So it's 40 years. Praise the Lord, huh? So I better remember and tell my wife, we better have got a good ceremony, because 40 years marriage, that's really a blessing of the Lord, right? If I hold that face, listen, how handsome I am, you will say, stupid. But if I will tell you, the head is not the appearance of the face. The head is the denotion of the person. Oh, I tell you, my head, that my person, at the age of 70, is much more mature, much more operative compared at age 32. At age 32, Nathan, could you believe in that? I don't even think about others. Everyone can do everything for me. I don't even care. At the age of 70, I have more caring for others and not as selfish. And you know, there is one head that is from eternity to eternity. That's why he has ability with eternity existence caring for the body of Christ. The head is the person of Christ. He has the headship of the body, which means what? Means he is taking care of his body with his eternity in view. Don't you like that? You like to pray, Lord, I need a house, and Lord gives you one. And he says, Lord, it's only 2-bedroom. I need a 3-bedroom house. Lord gives you another one. It's only 3-bedroom. Lord, I need a 4-bedroom house. Do you get my point or not? But if you don't look at the Lord as Santa Claus, giving houses, giving cars, you see the Christ as the one who is in eternity, with eternity life, with the virtue of eternity, with all his divine attributes and human care for the church as the person of the church. Then how good is the church? Do you understand what I say? Brother Mike, isn't the church in Columbus bothersome? Well, you have to say yes. If you don't say yes, that means something is wrong. I tell you, the more blessed, the more flourishing, is that English? Means blossoming. The more flourishing of that household, the more headache they have. Do you get my point or not? If you get 12 kids, 14 kids, 18 kids, oh, the parents get a lot of headaches. You got one kid, you got a little headache. If you don't have any kids, your life will be so peaceful. You look at your wife, praise God. And the Lord, wife look at you, amen. And you look at him, we're getting old. The other one answered, praise the Lord. And you say, I'm going to take a walk. The wife says, I know, that's what you do every day. Then the wife would answer, I will cook lamb for you because I know what you want. No, brother, the life will have no interest. I hate that kind of life. This is why all the older ones desire grandchildren. You know, because they mess you up a little. You feel very happy about it. Oh, brother, do you realize this? With Christ, headship eternity. So you do have problems in church in Columbus, do you? A lot of problems. Yeah, that's a good answer. Because he hates to say a lot, because at least some who seemingly are not problem. But remember that those who seemingly are not problems eventually can become a real problem. Because we're all human beings. You know what can make you so peaceful? Your peacefulness comes from this. You know, the headship of the church in Columbus is neither me and nor Bill Gilbert, right? Nor John Meyer. You see, these three brothers are West Pole, no, South Pole, North Pole, and Tropic. Right? Mike? Sober. Bill? John Meyer! Oh, what a coronation the Lord has given to you. Marvelous. But even you have to say, no. Not we elders take care of the church. We do serve, but eventually Christ, with his headship, taking care of the church in Columbus. Amen. As the local expression of the body of Christ. Isn't that marvelous? So eventually, it is the fullness of the one who fills all in all. Christ is all the positive things, all the things that may bear lasting value. And Christ fills all the positive things. And we are the fullness. In other words, we are the expression of this Christ who produce all the positive things. Isn't that good? What is the body? The body of Christ is the fullness. In other words, the expression of the one who fills all and in all. You think about it. Mike, can you come up again? Sorry, huh? If you know this Mike 40 years ago, you're 40-something now, right?
50.
You know this Mike 40 years ago, he was this high. Am I right? At 10.
Oh, yeah, 10 maybe.
Yeah, 40 years ago, you were 10-year-old, right?
Yeah.
You're this high. Mm-hmm. Skinny.
Very.
Very skinny.
Yeah.
You see, you do see the body, but you don't see the fullness. Now you see a man. Oh, that's pretty full.
Yeah.
Not only you see the body, you know, the stature is to the utmost. You're not going to grow taller anymore. Am I right? No. The size may have come to its fullness. This is a fullness. This body is a fullness of that Mike Puskas. 40 years ago, there was a Mike Puskas. You know, he also have a body. He also has a presentation, but skinny, short, right? And now look at him. Oh, this is the fullness of Mike Puskas. What is the body of Christ? What is the church? The church is the fullness of the one. The body of Christ is the fullness of the heavenly one who fills all the positive things and in all the positive things. Isn't that marvelous? You know, brother, so in the beginning, we come to what is the body of Christ? You have to say it is with the triune God, with the divine life of triune God as a substance, and what? With the Christ resurrection as his realm. In that, you can see the body is Christ. The body is his inheritance. The body is a place for us to enjoy the resurrecting power. And the body has the headship of Christ. And eventually, the body is the expression of Christ. If you understand the body in this way, you will not say too easily who is in the body, who is not in the body. You realize the body is greater than what we usually apprehend. Now, more than that, the aspects of the body. We have to go fast. Huh? Number one. The body of the church is a new man, created as Christ as his life, his element, and the person to accomplish God's eternal purpose. The verse says this, abolishing his flesh, the law of commandment in ordinances. In other words, all these requirements are gone, that he might create the two in himself, the one new man, and make him peace. These are 2 points here. Number one, let's stress, What is the aspect of the body? You look at the body, you say, the body is a new man. Then what is a new man? The new man is created. Created, he said, that he might creating himself in himself, the one new man. The one new man was created. You know, young girl, Samantha, right? Samantha, you and I and the body of Christ, the church, are all different. I am a man made. So God made man. Do you remember? With the dirt, right? In his image, after his likeness. And you are, young lady, you are a young lady built. Remember? God took something out of Adam, and the Bible says, builded him a woman. So in the universe, a crucial element, man and woman and a new man. There's three, man is made, woman is built, and the body of Christ is created. So no man can say, praise the Lord, I'm out of nothing. The Lord said, no. You are out of dirt. That's why the Lord said, from dirt you come, to the dirt you should go. You are just dirt. And your whole life, you can never get away from the dirt element. Do you realize that? Most heavenly person can become also quite earthly. I tell you, I could give you one exemption. One day I was in England. I went to John Wesley's, the church John Wesley used to minister. Oh, was in the front, there's a statue with a statement. That one I don't like. That says, the world is my parish. The world is my parish. I don't like it. Brother, we don't need a parish like that. But anyway, I mean, it's a grand, big person. Then we visit his residence. Brother, he's been away for about 3 centuries now, right? About 3 centuries now. You walk into his residence. For some reason, you still have a sense of some element that comes Christ alone. You look at the furniture, not one thing. You can say, this is a soul, a fleshly thing. Everything you walk through, I saw that's my feelings. I was so impressed. You walk through, it's a very small residence. Maybe downstairs, upstairs. But very narrow, very small. You walk in, you go down, you go through the whole house, you come up. I had a feeling, why there's so much Lord's presence? Then it's surprising, one brother was with me. He said, Brother Titus, there's so much presence of the Lord who will walk through that residence. I don't like to be superstitious. So a man of God, his residence become godly. A residence is a residence. But I tell you, why I give you the story? Where I was in that house, I feel something not of man. Something of God. You know, what is the body of Christ? The body of Christ is a new man. A new man is created. So, brother, you say, I'm the body of Christ. God said, you're made. And the sister, ha, ha, ha. You see, you men doesn't work. We ladies work. We're the body of Christ. Then the Lord says, no, you are built. Now, what is the body of Christ? The body of Christ, he said, is something out of nothing. But the speaking, the element of God alone. That's called creation. Do you get my point or not? So we men were made. It's made. This is something come out of something. You women are built. What's built? Is something out of something. But the body of Christ is a new man created. Is something out of nothing. So don't point it. Where's the body of Christ, brother? Yes, I know, right? The spirit is created. And the spirit regenerated. That part is a new man. But it's the body of Christ. But when you say, where's the body of Christ? Brother, be very careful. Huh? The body of Christ is a new man created. Rejects anything that is not from Christ alone. your ability, brother, are you able, capable person? You look like a capable person, right? Brother, are you a capable person? You look like a sweet person. But capable person, sweet person, you all want to have something to do for the Lord. And the Lord says, what? What? You can do a Christian work. You cannot be the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ must be of Christ alone. Aren't you a beautiful young lady? You are, you are. So, sister, be very happy about it. Aren't you a beautiful young lady? You are too. You are beautiful young ladies, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you all. But none of your beauty means anything to the body of Christ. The body of Christ says, I only care for Christ. I only be with Christ. Everything you have must go. This is why some brother get puzzled, right? Hey, why am I operating as a president of a bankruptcy to be company? There are 300 people under me, and I can manage them. How come I come to church, I can do a thing? Yeah, you can do a thing because you can do a thing. But the Christ in you, that is his inheritance. That is the essence and element of the body of Christ. That is created. And that is the new man, God treasure. And more than that, second now, the body of the church was produced. How can it come into being? Produced through the death of the physical body of Christ. In the death of his body, when the Lord was hung on the tree, died for us, right? On the cross. This is where the body was produced. The spiritual body was produced through the death of the physical body of Christ. To what? To reconcile all believers. It's very interesting. What's your name, brother? Eddie. Eddie, can you come up? Ah, you look like a capable man. Even the way you walk is capable. Yeah. And the weighty too. And I tell you, a brother is taller than you. You want me to show you John Berglund? Oh, come on. Yeah, John is not as capable as you are, but for sure he's very, very academic. You are not that good. And I tell you, you two think you're marvelous? There's a young girl much more beautiful than you. Come on, come on. This is how pretty she is. How pleasant this young lady. You're 17, 18, whatever. It doesn't matter, right? And there's, brother, there should be enmities. You will say that. What is this kind of man? Only know how to write. He would look at you. What's this man? Only know how to make money. And she would look at both of them. What are these old men are doing? We young girls have a bright future. And I'm an old man, old as a Chinese. But could you believe we are one body? And could you believe there's no enmity? I don't have to consider you. Young girl, you think you can really love the church? You don't even know what is a church. But she would answer, I don't know what is a church, but I love the church. What's wrong with that? Do you get my point or not? Then I'll look at him, brother, you are so capable. I don't think the church can handle you. You better get out of here. And I couldn't go to him, brother, you only know how to write things, and we don't need so many books. Get out of here. And eventually, you know, you three all get out because I am the church. Oh, I tell you something marvelous. The Lord, through the death of his body, out of this physical body, he produced this spiritual body. In this spiritual body, there's someone, I'm surprised. You want to grow a beard or not?
It's kind of there. I don't know if it's going to
come. Yeah, out. Yeah. You'll come out tonight. Okay. Praise the Lord. You want to grow a mustache? Yeah. You don't have anything to grow. You're too young and you're a lady. Anyway, but anyway, brother, I tell you something surprising. For some reason, there's no enmity among us. Brother, there's no reason for you to love an old man, Chinese. No reason. Am I right?
You're right.
And no reason for me to love you either. But I love you. You love me too.
I love you.
Why you love me?
Because Christ gave me that love.
Oh, I tell you something. He answered, because Christ gave me such love. Actually, you should answer, because I don't know why. When I see you have Christ, I just love you. Isn't that marvelous? All of us. So different. If I would get you up, come on. You. Are you in the church life? Yeah. You are in the church life. It's another one. Aren't we so different? Yet why? We can declare there's no enmity among us. Because enmity has been slain by the death of Christ in his physical body. The death of physical body of Christ produces a spiritual body. In the spiritual body, there's no enmity among us. How good that is. Thank you. But wait a minute. But are you in the body?
Yeah.
Are you in the body? Are you in the body?
Yeah.
Are you in the body?
Amen.
Then what book do you read? Yeah, what book do you read?
Read the Bible.
You just read the Bible? You're not the body. Because you didn't read the materials. Now what book do you read? You don't read at all, do you?
I read King James Version of the Bible.
No, the apostles write King James, right?
King James.
And Recovery Version is not right. Brother, I protest. I'm Protestant. Yeah, so I have to protest. You know, Protestants are very good with protesting one another, right? That's why they call Protestant, right? So I protest.
Okay.
Paul didn't write King James Version. Paul wrote Recovery Version. Do you know the notes in Recovery Version?
No.
Oh, then I tell you, I'm not performing. I'll tell you a real thing. Recovery Version is very good. The notes is very good. But don't make Recovery Version a source of enmity. What version you use? Brother, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I love you. What Bible you use?
King James Bible.
What? What Bible you read?
King James.
Jesus. Well, brother, I got to love you, but I don't know how. Brother, you know we're producing enmities all the time. What material you use?
King James.
Do you speak in tongues?
Haha,
I spoke in tongues a lot. You want me to perform to you?
Yeah.
I can do it right now. Well, better not perform. Brother, if you give 10 minutes, I can get many of you speaking in tongues. But I don't want to do it. Why? No value. You know, brother, you don't speak in tongues? I speak in tongues. Have you ever healed anybody?
The Lord heals.
Have you healed any?
I've witnessed.
You witnessed? What does that mean?
I witnessed healing.
Did you do it, or are you?
Jesus did it.
But did you, Jesus, do it through you?
Jesus did it through the Spirit.
Through the Spirit, through whom?
Through me.
See, how come you're so religious? Brother, healing is a miracle. Anything that is miracle is against God's operating principle. God is forced into it. God doesn't want it. God wants to be everything according to principle. Therefore, you do the healing. I do healing too. But anyway, I'm preaching the message, right? So you do the healing. You are not in the body. You are the healer. No, you shouldn't go down. You say, what do you mean by that? I heal people. I love Jesus. We are still one body.
Amen.
There's no enmity. We like to produce enmities. All kinds of enmities. What Bible you use?
King James.
What book you read? What is your practice? In the morning, do you pray to the Lord? You do?
Yes.
You're so religious?
Yes.
At night, do you confess to the Lord?
Yes.
Oh, what a religious brother. I don't know if I'm with him. He is a brother law. L-A-W. Every morning, pray. Every evening, confess. What kind of law you practice? Brother, do you realize? This brother will say, I protest. Because I love brothers who pray every morning. I love brothers who confess every evening. What's wrong with that? I would say, nothing wrong. But don't we have the freedom in the Spirit? I tell you all, we can generate endless enmities just because of our minor things. brother, you don't have hair or you shaved your hair?
I'm shaved.
Is that according to Paul's practice?
I was King James, yeah, and I don't know what his practice is.
No, didn't remember? Paul went to shave his hair. That's why God arrested him. He was in prison. So you want to be in prison, right?
For Christ's sake.
Brother, did you realize we are so funny? Mm-hmm. We ask all kinds of things we never ask. Do you enjoy Christ? Do you have Christ? Do you love Christ? Are you loving brothers? Are we one?
We're one.
Isn't this good enough? Now all of a sudden we add, you love Jesus with what version? I tell you, we are peculiar people. We really are peculiar people. This is why, thank you, brother and sister. This is why here says, the body, the church, was produced through the death of his physical body of Christ. To what? To reconcile all the believers. One day, one leading brother, you mind I go a little bit slower? One leading brother come to one congregation, a small congregation, led by a sister. So it's not biblical. Sister should not lead, but that is led by a sister. Because she went back to China from U.S. She got saved, and she's happy. She preached gospel. She had about 10, 15 meetings with her. So that night there's about 15. One brother, a leading brother, come in. And they honor him. Oh, brother, you're welcome. And he sit down. The first thing he says, brother, what material you use? You know, brother, I'm a senior, right? If I were there, I'd say, brother, what kind of question you ask? Stupid to the uttermost. What difference that make? But the sisters were very nice. Oh, we use New Life Lessons by Witness Lee. Then why not 7 times a year? That's because the sister answered. I would refuse to answer. The sister is just nice. I would just say, brother, we have a meeting. Please go away. You want to talk with me after meeting? Don't bother us. You know, the sister is nice. Well, you know, I come back from United States and I preach gospel. Everyone here is so new. They don't understand what's going on. And a brother from China, from Taiwan was by chance in the meeting. He can't take it anymore. So he turned to the recovered version, found the footnotes by Brother Lee. You know, brother, the Bible here with Brother Lee's footnotes, you must shepherd the saints according to what they need. You know what the brother answered? He said, where are you from? Where are you from? Then he rolled out his sleeve and he said, where are you from? What are you coming here for? I don't know the Bible because I don't understand. I don't know. I don't know 7 times a year. If you say more, I'm going to fight with you. Oh, the brother told me. He says, I'm scared. In my life, I've been in many meetings. I was never scared like this. After that, I talked with the brothers. Brother, please follow Christ. What kind of thing is this? If you read this, the body of the church was produced through the death of the physical body of Christ to reconcile all believers of having slain all the enmities and what? Making peace. In the church life, you should make peace and don't produce issues. So let me ask you another question. So here is a fleshly brother assume the lead, right? He roll up sleeve, he want to fight with peoples. Should you make an issue? Should you? You think about it. Should you make an issue or not? I mean, the others are really making issues, right? Should you make an issue or not? You have to be firmly follow Christ. Firmly follow the Bible, but don't make issues. You just have to tell him, brother, you want to beat me up? I'm ready. Come and beat me. You want me to fellowship with you? I'm ready. I'm open to fellowship. But, brother, I have no enmity with you because you are a brother in the body of Christ. Is that clear? Then more. Next point. Huh? The church, the body of the church is a kingdom of God constituted with all the saints as fellow citizens, and no one, no brothers, should be strangers and sojourners. In other words, when you treat each other as what? As fellow citizens. I want to tell you the story. when I came to the United States. That's in 1963, as a young man. At that time, there's no Chinese, very few Chinese. And so I, no Chinese food, no soy sauce, and no Chinese language speaking, and no Chinese face. All of a sudden, I found out I'm a stranger and sojourner in this country. The only thing I admired so much was all the beautiful houses I walked through is without a fence. You know, American, this is a virtue. American, every house is facing the street. You know what I mean? And with a beautiful lawn for you to enjoy. You don't have to, even though they don't let you to walk in. You know, brother, I walk on the street, I thought, wow, if this is a China, every house would have a fence. I will walk right in the middle of alley. You know what I mean? Both sides of the wall. How desperate. How, you know what I mean? How lonely I will become. Then eventually, if I see an Oriental face, you get excited, right? You go to him, hey, where are you from? If that man says, I'm from Taiwan, I'm from China, I'm from, are you Chinese? Oh, yes. Do you speak Mandarin? Yes, I do. Oh, yeah. I'm so happy to meet you. What are you doing here? Because what? Because you're fellow citizens. Do you get my point? Brother should see brother like this. We're right in the midst of many Gentiles, many unbelievers. Now you see a brother, don't destroy it, because the body of Christ is constituted with fellow citizens. Don't produce any enmities, produce, enjoy the fellow citizens, then what? With all the sons. And no one should be strangers. Don't treat a brother, you are in the flow. Or your brother, you are not in the flow. Or your brother, you have the right practice. Another brother, you have the wrong practice. And don't even go to a place, try to destroy a local church. Brother, remember that we are fellow citizens. Then eventually, the body is a household of God. It's very interesting, right? The house of God, where all the saints are members, what? For God to have an abode. Brother Buck, do you have a household? Yeah, you have a household. That household including you, including your wife, including your children. May, you have grandchildren now? Five. And five of you grandchildren. Am I right? I tell you, Buck, what is your greatest comfortableness? It's a gathering together of the household. Last year was surprising. You know, I have a daughter in Hong Kong, a son in Southern California, and a daughter in Cleveland with my son-in-law, with my granddaughter. I don't know what inspired my daughter in Cleveland. She called my wife in Southern California, said, I will bring the baby over. So I told my wife, I said, well, now we only miss one son-in-law. Oh, that was good. Me, my wife, my oldest son, my daughter-in-law, my daughter, my granddaughter, and my younger daughter. Oh, we have a dinner. I look at them. I'm so satisfied. This is my household. You know, the Lord would look at many, many Christians. The Lord would be so satisfied. This is my household. The problem is, when we sit at the table, the Lord was in the middle, watching over us, right? This one, just look at the food and the Lord. Lord, I love you, eat something. The other one, look at the food and the Lord. Lord, I love you, eat something. The Lord says, then you love one another. No, I can't. Because they only read King James Version. The other one says, no, I can't. Because I only read Recovery Version. The other one says, no, I can't. Because I'm only seven times a year. The other one says, no, I can't. Because I never go seven times a year. Brother, aren't we the most stupid group of Christians on the globe? For what? We are his household. As his household, here, the next point, we are what? We are the body, the church, as a temple of the Lord for his testimony. For this, we come to the next page. We are built together upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. The temple is for his testimony. We are his temple. We are his testimony. And this testimony do not merely come in by life. This testimony come in by the laboring of the apostles and prophets. So you ask, who is the apostle? Brother, who raised you up is your apostle. Because remember, Apostle Paul said this. Apostle Paul said to Corinth, to others I'm not apostles, to you I'm apostles. Because your being in Christ is a proof of my apostleship. Do you get my point? So brothers, you do need apostles and prophets to lay the foundation. But they don't lay the foundation of themselves. Why? Because Christ is a unique cornerstone. Do you like this or not? Here, huh? Suppose I say, here is a cornerstone, right? Then you have all the blocks laid by the apostles and prophets. You know, one thing I have to be very clear with this, because they must match the cornerstone. Do you get my point or not? They must have the same identity with the cornerstone, same material as the cornerstone, same constitution as the cornerstone, same purpose and goal as the cornerstone. Otherwise, the building do not stand. The cornerstone is solid, and I build a block with sand. The building is going to fall apart. So cornerstone decide whatever the apostle and prophet laid. Christ as the chief cornerstone, therefore what? Therefore, brother, let me tell you all, everyone's labor must be only producing Christ. Christ is the chief cornerstone. So apostle produced the foundations, and the foundations got to be Christ alone. Then what? With the saints being fit together, growing with the growth of God. Don't you like it? Eventually you grow. You know, I labor among you somewhat. Am I right? I labor among you with what? With only one purpose. That you may grow. The more you grow with the growth of God, the more there's a reality of the body of Christ. Then could we read point two together? The body, church, is a dwelling place of God for his rest, and the saints being built together in spirit. When the saints build together in spirit, then what? The body become his dwelling place. Remember? In the beginning, in the first paragraph, we said you have to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Here we say that eventually the church is built with the spirit. Now we come to point E. We just read it. Brother Nee has a statement. Brother Nee said, the body is the bride of the Lord to satisfy him. I didn't put that in affection. So Lord was very happy. Because we are his bride, to satisfy his affection, that emotionally the Lord will be very, very happy. Can we just read? I think it's good enough. Huh? Read. No need to read verses. The body, the church, is a bride of the Lord to satisfy him. He is the head of the church and the savior of the body. He sanctifies her. He cleanses her by the washing of the water in the word. He might present her to himself, glorious, without spot or wrinkle, but holy and without blemish. Now, let's read it again. Stronger. Can we read it again? With a strong spirit. Ready, go. The body, the church, is a bride of the Lord to satisfy him. He is the head of the church and the savior of the body. He sanctifies her. He cleanses her by the washing of water in the word. He might present her to himself glorious, without spot or wrinkle, but holy without blemish. Don't you like it? So eventually, who are we? We are his bride. As his bride, we satisfy the Lord. So what? He's head of the church, the savior of the body. Brother, he saves us. All the time he saves us. So that what? We can always be 18. Young girl, can you come up? You know what is 18? Now here's a young lady. So beautiful, right? Someday you'll get married. Mm-hmm. Will you?
Yeah.
Or you want to be all by yourself whole life?
No.
You want to get married?
Yeah.
When she get married, there should be no spot, no wrinkle. Do you get my point? If you have a bride with my face, you'll say, wow, what kind of bride is this? So eventually we're all going to see the Lord, right? When we see the Lord, this one has a lot of spots. That one has a lot of wrinkles. Everyone tell the Lord, Lord, thank you. I follow you all my life. I'm 85. Hallelujah. Lord says, I don't want this ancient bride. I want a bride without spot, without wrinkle. Just like, I don't know who will be the blessed brother when they marry you. Do you have that one in view already? Praise the Lord. No, that's a good answer. If you say yes, I say too early. But anyway, eventually, some young man will come in. And you take care of yourself, right? You should be a bride without spot, without wrinkle. But this is a physical bride. How about the spiritual bride? Thank you. The spiritual bride, we all love the Lord. Actually, the ancient, the better. The Lord loved to marry me because I love him 50-some years. And I tell you, 20 years later, if I would still be on this earth, the Lord loved Mary, loved me even more because I loved him 70-some-year-old. Isn't that marvelous? But Lord cannot say, I love you out of your seniority. You are filled with spot. You are filled with wrinkle. I got an ancient bride. No, the Lord says, wait a minute now. I am the savior of the body. I will save you. By what? Number one, I sanctify you. Sanctify. I always put you in the place that is holy, one with God. I sanctify you. Now take away all the unnecessaries. More than that, I cleanse you with what? With the washing of the water in the Word. So brothers, read the Bible. The Bible has a washing of the water. Read the Bible. One brother visited one church, and he teach them how to read the Bible. After his visitation, he came home. He told me, just happened recently. He said, the leading ones, actually, they wrote me a letter too. Tell me how they were helped by the brother's visit. The brother told him something you can't believe. I don't know if I should say it. It's quite discouraging. He said, brother so-and-so, we're thankful you helped us. Since 1996, we have not used the Bible. Here's a church that loves the Lord. That's 10 years, 9 to 10 years, they have not used the Bible. And my word to you, brother, use the Bible. Remember, why? Remember, in the Word, there is water. In the water of the Word, there is washing. So, young girl, do you know that? One day the Lord marry us all, right? I will be an old ancient bride too. But I will be just as young, as beautiful in the divine life. Why? I tell you two secrets. Number one, I know I've been sanctified. Number two, I always enjoy the washing of the water in the Word. I look at the spot and wrinkles in my face. I can't do a thing. Except I see someone that, you know, they have a way to make yourself young again. As a man, that's kind of funny, right? As a woman, I can't say. But anyway, may the Lord be your beauty. But I can't do this kind of thing. The older I get, the more I go, and the uglier I get. I have a real white hair, even last year, beautiful. I told the Lord, Lord, finally I come out of it. My hair is all white. It's getting black again. Isn't that ugly? You know, the hair is totally white. It's very, very nice looking. I don't know why it's getting black. My wife told me that's because one brother gave me some bottles of lingzhi. He said, because you eat the lingzhi, you know, that makes you young again. I say, I know lingzhi is good for my circulation, but I hate to be young like that. My beauty should not come merely from my face because no one can keep it. Aren't you so pretty, young girl? Your mom here, right? She's not here. But don't tell your mom. See, But just look at your mom. You know that. 20 some years later, you will be like her. Do you get my point? And look at your grandma. You know that. 5 years later, you'll be like her. But we all can be without spot. We all can be without wrinkle. We all can be fresh, beautiful, become qualified, bread of Christ. By what? By taking Christ as a Savior. By being sanctified all the time. By being nourished by the washing of the water in the Word. Isn't that marvelous? Praise the Lord. Huh? So eventually, that he might present the body of Christ, that her, to himself, glorious. I like it. Without spot. I look at the mirror, I can't see it. But I know in my spirit, it is true. In my spirit, there's no spot. In my spirit, there's no wrinkle. In my spirit, it's holy and without blemish. Oh, may this life grow. To grow into, to have the reality of the body of Christ. May Lord have mercy.